So give me some feedback. Besides Christ and besides family, what's your favorite part about Christmas? Food. That's not a bad deal. That'll work.
Music.
Oh, getting the day off without the family. No, I'm joking. I guess one of my favorite things is to drive around looking at the lights. I really enjoy, you know, we used to even drive out to Clare City. They used to have a house out there that was really decorated. And when you go to Texas, they have streets that are decorated. In fact, there's a 15-mile stretch this side of Denton, Texas, that is just, the trees are just covered with lights of different animals and different things, and there's a manger scene, and so we try to always hit that place at dark because it's beautiful. But how many of us has really stopped and thought about the lights of the first Christmas? You know, some things I've never thought of this way before, but of course there's the star, okay? The star was a revelation. The star, the word revelation means an unveiling or a disclosure. The star pointed where Jesus was born. It revealed to them the birth of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about something else that I hadn't thought of before, but when the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, there must have been light. And so there was a revealing of the birth of Christ through a star, through the glory. And Jesus is called the light of the world. If you go with me to the book of John just for a moment, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life," okay? "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." What is going on with all the light? If you go to John chapter 3, how many know that? What verse is in John chapter 3? Pardon? "For God so loved the world." Well, let's look at that for a moment. "For God so loved the world," in verse 16, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now listen to this. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God." You can take what I'm going to tell you now and do with what you want. In light, there's revelation. To me, in darkness, there's no revelation. You come to a point where Christ is a revelation of the Father. Keep in mind, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't saying he was the Father. He's a revelation of the heart, the mind, the love, the grace, the mercy of the Father. And Jesus came to reveal that to us. Now, he did say in John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, that's important. Because the physical body of Jesus is no longer in the world. Are we okay? I'm not saying his spirit isn't. But Stephen, when he was stoned, looked and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He saw some form there. Okay? And so, Jesus then is not in the world any longer, but we are. So, what I was talking with Stephen and Stan when they were up here is the fact that God now looks at us and says, you're the light of the world, or we're the revelation of Jesus Christ to mankind. Now, I'm going to say something that may sound so far off, you're going to have to chew on it for a while. But why aren't people running to Jesus? Because we're trying to be winning them to Jesus instead of revealing Jesus to them.
That's right.
I want you to chew on that. There's a lot difference of revealing Jesus and witnessing. Although he said we're going to be witnesses. The church has failed to be the revealing of the Savior in the sense that people would desire him. I understand that Isaiah 53 says he wasn't comely that anyone should desire him. But as people see Christ in us and we live out that Christ in us, things change. Okay, let's start at the beginning. You may be sitting here and thinking, I've never had that revelation. I've gone to church. I've heard messages. But the revelation of the fact of Jesus Christ, I just accepted because somebody told me about it. Now, here's what happens when the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. The revelation of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ being the light, shines into us. And it shows us two things. It shows us what's in us, and it shows us what's missing, or who's missing. Conviction is God making us aware of our lack in many senses of not having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and the Bible says he'll convict the world of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit comes and begins to speak to us. And what's our first response if we're kind of normal people is, and people still say it, well, I'm not good enough. The response is the wrong way. The response needs to come to a place, yes, God, but you are good enough. I've got things that are in error. I've had things that are wrong. I'm missing Jesus. I'm not coming to him. And so what happens is people get religious. I want to tell you something. Religion's of the devil. Thank you, three people. Religion is man trying to reach God.
That's right.
Salvation is God reaching down to man. And so religion causes us to do all kinds of things. The good things, because we're forced to do them, we think, and we must do them. And if we don't do them, then we're lost. Now, religion tells you, you got to go to a certain church. Huh? Oh, yes, it does. And if you don't go to that church, you don't fit in. Christianity says it's not about church, it's about Christ.
That's right.
So God is taking a body of people, revealing himself to us, showing us the emptiness of our life without Christ, showing us and demonstrating to us who he is, and that he is the answer to the emptiness. And then he brings people around us, and we build relationships through revelation. Okay. How many during the break talked about Jesus? Okay, no more breaks. Because we should be walking through our life after the initial revelation with God pouring revelation into us. We really don't know the bondage we're in until we experience freedom. That's an amazing revelation that God gave me. And that's what religion does. Religion wants to keep you in bondage. Christ wants to make you free.
Amen.
So Christ comes on the scene as the light, as the one that's revealing things to you through the Holy Spirit, and he takes ownership of us. And he tells us over and over and over again, it's not by your works, it's by my life that I gave for you that you're saved. Because no matter what Christ tells us, in the back of many people's minds is, I have to do something to get this right. And if I don't do it right, and if I don't do it the right way, then nothing's going to happen. But who are we listening to? Christ comes along and says, I paid for everything. Your one choice is simply this: accept or reject. There's only two choices. Some people say, well, I'm going to wait for a while. I'm going to think about it. You're rejecting it. And so the revelation gets brighter and brighter and brighter and deeper, and we begin to understand who Christ is in us and who we are in Christ. So then there's another step. And that is just absolutely accepting who God says you are. The Bible tells us that we were Gentiles without hope and without faith and without everything. And all of a sudden, he brought us in through his blood. We are now joint heirs with Christ. We have the same standing that the Jews had. And there's neither Jew nor Greek. Or free bond, or Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We're all one in Christ. And what begins to happen then? It's really kind of interesting. Because as the body, as you come in here, the place is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. You say, really? I was sitting back there one morning, just minding my own business, just thinking, man, I better find something to preach quick. Kirk is three-fourths of the way done. And all of a sudden, and I don't even know, it was a few weeks ago, all of a sudden, a heavenly mist descended. In that mist was such peace. And a few minutes later, Kirk looked at me, and I was still back there, but I didn't want to move. It was just the presence of God who's telling us, now that we have received hope, now that we have peace with God, now that we are justified, now that we are joint heirs with God, now that we have been adopted into the greatest family in the world, we need to start revealing that to others. You know, somebody says, we always need to be witnesses, and sometimes we need to use words even. But most of the time, we need to live a life that is bringing revelation from God through us to people. We are the light of the world, but I don't think we've realized that. I don't think we understand the value and the importance in the kingdom of God that the body has. How many of you are connected to the head of the body? Do you think you'd be just a little spasmodic if you just had a head? So God knew what he was doing when Christ said, I am the head and you are the body. The head reigns. The head rules. But the head also wants us to respond to what he's telling us. But our big deal is, well, I can't do that. Now, I wonder how many times Kirk picked up a hammer to drive a nail, and the head told him to drive the nail, but his hand said, I won't do it, I can't. I'm going to hit my nail. You ever have that happen to you? They call that a stroke. It's that your mind is working fine, but your body won't respond. And I want to tell you something. We pray for people to have hope. I mean, our town was shocked last weekend. But then, the ones who can reveal the hope to people don't feel qualified to reveal the hope. Amen or oh me. You see, we are looking for something that says, hey, you are now qualified to live your life for God and to speak. You are now qualified to reveal light. If you pick this up, you can read it. How much more do we need? And so what happens is that we do exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. And please understand, I'm not condemning anyone. Where we should be revealing Christ through our actions and even our words, we sit back and feel empty. You want to see the shock on somebody's face? Share with them when you're sitting with them what Christ is doing. You know, I can't keep my mouth shut. I understand that. But I'm sitting in a waiting room. Judy's having an echocardiogram. These guys come in. They all got heart trouble. And they're talking this and that and something else. So I start talking God's healing. And you want to see a cow looking at a new gate? But that's what we're here for. God has challenged us to be revealers of truth. He's challenged us to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we walk, it's nothing we're doing. It's an easy beans. We walk and we live and we talk at times, but most of the time, as Stephen was saying or somebody was saying, we're doing good and they're seeing Jesus and they're responding to Jesus because nobody else is doing it. But at Christmas time, instead of sharing, people are taking. And so we come to a place, it's a beautiful time to let the light shine and bring revelation to people of God not only died for you, but he loves you, and we're willing to share our goods with you because that's what Jesus would do. And it's pretty amazing. When people have a revelation of Jesus, and even though things may look bad and be bad, and there's health issues and there's financial issues, there's a support. There's a foundation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and only that which cannot be shaken will remain. The only one that can't be shaken is Christ and his foundation. If you're going to stand on something, if you're standing on some principle, or you're standing on some ideal, or you're standing on something, stand on Jesus. Nurse came in. Well, it was a PA, I guess. Oh, she looked down. There was something going on, and she was crabby. So after I kicked her around for a while, no, I didn't. After we talked for a while, I just said, hey, you know something? God loves you. And things changed. And she started walking out, and I said, you know, God wants to help you. God wants to. And she said, oh, no, not me. You know, it's a somebody else he'll help thing. And I said, understand something. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. God has no favorites. And she turned and walked away. I could tell something was going on in her. And that hope that we talk about, that we tell people about, that we preach about, needs to be revealed to people. We need to come to a place of revealing that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Anybody have an NIV handy real quick? Okay, Barb, do me a favor. Read verse 9 out of the NIV. Do you see that? For the fruit of the light, consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the revelation The fruit of the revelation consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's amazing. So there are things being revealed. And sometimes we just take them for granted and think they're not meaningful. And so there are things being revealed that all the time. How many of you ever heard the verse, without a vision, the people perish? Know what that is really saying? Without a progressive revelation, people perish. So God doesn't change, but at times his methods change. The way he wants us to do things change. And we need to listen to that. Because God is never silent. Okay? God is always speaking, either through his word or with that still small voice or through the gifts of the Spirit. He's speaking. But Kirk said it one Sunday morning when he was leading worship that too often we want God, and I'm paraphrasing it, to agree with what we already made our plans to do. Mm-hmm. My granddaughter, my lovely granddaughter, my only granddaughter, best one I've got, put something on Facebook yesterday and I just kind of, she put on Facebook, well, I feel in a lovely mood or something because God's on my side. He's not. He's not on your side either. We're on his side.
That's right. That's
right. And so that's why we live by the word. We walk in the word, and you say, where does that come from? Remember when Joshua was camped? They were going to fight for the promised land. The angel of the Lord came and Joshua says, are you with us or are you against us? And he said, no, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. You be on his side. God takes no sides. God has one side. His. When we get to understand that, that we're not bargaining with God to have him on our side compared to somebody else, that we're not bargaining with God so that he's going to help us and not help somebody else. God is looking at us saying, stop. All you are asked to be is with me. And when we come to Christ, we're saying, God, we're on your side. And actually, we're surrendering. Take my life, fill me, mold me, make me, use me, and let your word flow through me, and let my life be full of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so we come to a place where we understand the purpose of our life in Christ. And that purpose of our life in Christ is revelation of God. Wherever we are, we can reveal him to someone. By actions, by words, by helping. And God is challenging us. Now, to do it. Do the goodness. If you have furniture that you don't need, share it. Don't keep it for a rainy day because you're going to be disappointed when the rainy day comes. And you'll be disappointed if it doesn't come. If God's laying on your heart to help somebody, do something for somebody, build something in the body of Christ, do it. He's not just speaking so that we can be disobedient. He's speaking so that somebody else can see the revelation of Him through your life. So God challenges us. What a beautiful challenge. God challenges us to come to the place where our main focal point, our vision, our revelation is to reveal Him. And as we do that, lives are changed for eternity. And there'll probably come a time when God will ask you to say something. It happens. And there may come a time when God says, don't say anything. I just want them to see me in you. I just want them to have a picture of what I'm really like. Because in your life, they're seeing my love and my grace and my mercy and my compassion, my strength, my health, whatever. And it's amazing. You see, I never have to ask God to be on my side because I know I'm on His. And whatever comes, He knows about it. He wasn't blindsided by anything that happens in your life or happens in my life. He's not blindsided. He knows. And He challenges us to go through it with Him at all times. All times. Say all times with me. No matter what we're going through, we're revealing Jesus. There's nothing so great or traumatic that it should stop us and shut us down from demonstrating Jesus to the world. Really true. You say, well, Pastor, what have you been through? Well, I've been through a couple things. I've been through my folks getting killed in a car accident. I've been through burying many family members. Buried my sister, who was 54. Did I lose focus? Yeah, probably did. But no more. You grow in some of that stuff. You grow through it. It's not my choice way to grow, and it's probably not God's choice way to grow. But we do. We either get better or somebody says we get bitter. And so we go through all kinds of stuff. But Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Because there are times you have to ask yourself, did God stop loving me and this is why I'm going through this? Wrong question. The question becomes, will this stop me from loving God? And we stand and we proclaim and we reveal. We have a family that we walk it through together. If somebody hurts, we all hurt. That's relationships. I met a guy yesterday that used to come to church here that came for a while until he got back with his wife, and then he went to his wife's church. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm buying some meat and I'm going to go home and cook it and bring it over to a family who lost their mother. And I said, wow, that's nice. Very nice of you. And he looked at me and he said, well, I had a good teacher. Be good teachers. Let everybody know that you're full of compassion and love of Jesus. Let everybody know that you simply care. We're not riding a hobby horse. We're not trying to hurt people. We're not trying to tell people, hey, you're going to hell. We're giving them the option of seeing Christ in us through the light and the revelation and have a different life. And friends, that's beautiful. You see, take your right hand, wipe your forehead. Come on, say, whew. Not that bad. It's not that bad. I can make that. I can do that. I can survive. No, I don't want anybody looking down a barrel of a gun. But Christ is so real. Okay. How many of you just need the revelation of Christ that we're talking about? How many of you are still beating yourselves up? Or how many of you are still living in the past? Or how many of you are going through stuff and you're just barely hanging on, just wondering if God really loves you? Wave at me. Anybody? How many here are absolutely solid, you're grounded, you're locked in, and you know that you're a revelation of Jesus Christ? Two of yous.
How many are somewhere in the middle?
How many of you don't know where the middle is? All I want to encourage you, I just want to encourage you. If you've walked with God for a while, if you live this life for Jesus, you've had revelation that you're not even aware of, and you've shared it with people. And now is not a time to back up and say, oh, I can't do anything. It's time to say, hey, it's a great life. It's a great life. And not only that, but you have a lot of people who are supporting you. You're not out there all by yourself. And even greater than that, you have God's support. Just telling you, you're a revelation of me to the world. Amen.